This is Ted O'Connell, and this is the second half of the Infectious Diseases chapter of USMLE Step 2 Secrets, 5th edition. Question 35. Describe the classic clinical vignette for Rocky Mountain spotted fever. What causes it? What is the treatment? Look for history of a tick bite, especially in a patient on the East Coast, 1 week before the development of high fever and chills, severe headache, and prostration or severe malaise. A rash appears roughly 4 days later on the palms and wrists and soles and ankles and spreads rapidly to the trunk and face, which is a unique pattern of spread. Patients often look quite ill, such as having disseminated intravascular coagulation or delirium. The infection is caused by Rickettsia rickettsii. Treat with doxycycline. Chloramphenicol is a second choice. Question 36. How do you recognize and treat the rash of impetigo? What causes it? Impetigo is a superinfection of a break in the skin, such as previous chickenpox, insect bite, scabies, or a cut. Impetigo is caused by Streptococcus and Staphylococcus species. The rash starts as thin-walled vesicles that rupture and form yellowish crusts. The skin classically is described as weeping. Typical lesions appear on the face and tend to be localized. The rash is infectious. Look for history of sick contacts. Treat with dicloxacillin, cefalexin, or clindamycin to cover both Streptococcus and Staphylococcus. Topical mupirocin also may be used. Question 37. Describe the two clinical types of endocarditis. What are the causative organisms? Acute or fulminant endocarditis, which typically affects normal heart valves and most commonly is caused by Staphylococcus aureus. Subacute, which has an insidious onset and typically affects previously damaged or prosthetic valves. The most common cause is Streptococcus viridans, but other streptococcal and staphylococcal species also may cause endocarditis, such as Staphylococcus epidermis, Streptococcus bovis, and enterococci. Suspect colon cancer if strep bovis turns up on blood culture. Question 38. How is endocarditis diagnosed and treated? The diagnosis is generally made by blood cultures. Empiric treatment is begun until the culture and sensitivity results are known. An anti-staphylococcal penicillin, such as oxacillin or nafcillin, plus an aminoglycoside is a good choice for native valve endocarditis. A third-generation penicillin or cephalosporin plus an aminoglycoside is a reasonable choice. Empiric treatment for prosthetic valve endocarditis is vancomycin plus gentamicin plus either cefepime or a carbapenem. Question 39. What are the classic signs and symptoms of endocarditis? Look for general signs of infection, such as fever, tachycardia, and malaise, plus new onset heart murmur, embolic phenomenon such as stroke and other infarcts, Osler nodes, which are painful nodules on the tips of the fingers, Janeway lesions, which are non-tender erythematous lesions on the palms and soles, Roth spots, which are round retinal hemorrhages with white centers, and septic shock, which is more likely with acute than subacute disease. Question 40. What elements of the history point to endocarditis? Look for patients who are more likely to be affected for endocarditis, including the following: IV drug abusers, who usually have right-sided lesions. Left-sided lesions are much more common in the general population. Patients with abnormal heart valves, such as prosthetic valves, rheumatic valvular disease, congenital heart defects, such as ventricular septal defects, or tetralogy of Fallot. Postoperative patients, especially after dental surgery. Question 41. What are the recommendations for endocarditis prophylaxis? The 2008 American Heart Association recommendations conclude that only an extremely small number of cases of infective endocarditis might be prevented by antibiotic prophylaxis for dental procedures. Cardiac conditions for which prophylaxis with dental procedures is recommended include prosthetic cardiac valve, previous infectious endocarditis, congenital heart disease, and cardiac transplant recipients who develop valvulopathy. Antibiotic prophylaxis is no longer recommended for genitourinary or gastrointestinal procedures. If a prophylactic antibiotic is indicated, it should be administered in a single dose before the procedure. Amoxicillin is a preferred choice for oral therapy. Cefalexin, clindamycin, azithromycin, or clarithromycin may be used in patients with penicillin allergy. Ampicillin, cefazolin, ceftriaxone, or clindamycin may be used for patients unable to take oral medication. Question 42. What is the classic age group for meningitis? Describe the physical findings. Neonates are the classic age group for meningitis. 75% of all cases occur in children younger than 2 years. Deciding when to do a lumbar tap is difficult because patients often do not have classic physical findings such as Koenig or Brudzinski signs. Look for lethargy, hyper or hypothermia, poor muscle tone, bulging fontanelle, vomiting, photophobia, altered consciousness, and signs of generalized sepsis, such as hypotension, jaundice, or respiratory distress. Seizures may also be seen, but simple febrile seizures are common in the absence of meningitis if the patient is between 5 months and 6 years old. Febrile seizures are not related to the severity of the temperature, but may be related to the rate of rise of the temperature. The maximum height of a fever, as opposed to the rate of rise, is the main determinant of risk in febrile seizures. Question 43. What should you do if you suspect meningitis? In the absence of trauma, do a lumbar puncture immediately and begin broad-spectrum antibiotics and IV fluids. Do not wait for culture or other results to start antibiotics. Question 44. What is the most common neurologic sequela of meningitis? Hearing loss. All pediatric and many adult patients need formal hearing evaluation after recovering from meningitis. Vision testing is also recommended. Other sequelae include intellectual disability, motor deficits or paresis, epilepsy, and learning and behavioral disorders. Dexamethasone may help reduce the incidence of hearing loss in patients with meningitis. Question 45. What are the common viral or aseptic causes of meningitis in children? Mumps and measles meningitis may be seen in children who are not immunized. The best treatment is prevention via immunization. Watch for neonatal herpes encephalitis, HSV2, if the mother has genital lesions of herpes simplex virus at the time of delivery. Other children and adults can develop HSV1 herpes encephalitis, which classically affects the temporal lobes on a head CT scan or MRI. Give IV acyclovir. Question 46. Which types of bacterial meningitis require antibiotic prophylaxis in contacts? Neisseria meningitidis and Haemophilus influenza. If a case of meningitis is due to Neisseria, give all contacts rifampin, ciprofloxacin, ceftriaxone, or azithromycin as prophylaxis. Rifampin is used for Haemophilus influenza meningitis prophylaxis. Question 47. What are the big three respiratory infections in patients younger than 5 years? Croup, epiglottitis, and respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, bronchiolitis. These three diseases are high yield on the USMLE. Question 48. How do you recognize croup or acute laryngotracheitis? Describe the cause and treatment. The disease begins with symptoms of viral upper respiratory infection, such as rhinorrhea, cough, and fever. Roughly 1 to 2 days later, patients develop a barking cough, hoarseness, and inspiratory stridor. The steeple sign, which describes subglottic narrowing of the trachea, is classic on a frontal radiograph of the chest or neck. Look for a child 1 to 2 years of age. Croup usually occurs in the fall or winter. 50% to 75% of cases are due to infection with parainfluenza virus. The other common causative agent is influenza virus. Treat with dexamethasone, racemic epinephrine, a mist tent, and humidified oxygen. Question 49. How do you recognize epiglottitis? Describe the cause and treatment. Epiglottitis usually occurs in children 2 to 5 years old. The main cause is Haemophilus influenza type B. Thus, widespread vaccination has significantly reduced the incidence of this condition. Staph aureus, strep pyogenes, and strep pneumoniae are other potential causes. Look for little or no prodrome with rapid progression to high fever, toxic appearance, drooling, and respiratory distress with no coughing. The three Ds, drooling, dysphagia, and distress, in unvaccinated children less than 2 to 5 years old. The thumb sign, which describes a swollen, enlarged epiglottis, is classic on lateral radiographs of the neck. Do not examine the throat or irritate the child in any way. You may precipitate airway obstruction. When a case of epiglottitis is diagnosed, the first step is to be prepared to establish an airway with intubation and, if needed, tracheostomy. Treat with a combination of oxacillin or cefazolin or clindamycin or vancomycin plus either cefotaxime or ceftriaxone. Question 50. Describe the classic clinical vignette for bronchiolitis. What is the cause? How is it treated? Bronchiolitis generally affects children 0 to 18 months and usually occurs in the fall or winter. More than 75% of cases are caused by RSV. Other causes are parainfluenza and influenza viruses. Patients first develop symptoms of viral upper respiratory infection, followed 1 to 2 days later by rapid respirations, intercostal retractions, and expiratory wheezing. The child may have crackles on auscultation of the chest. Diffuse hyperinflation of the lungs is classic on chest radiograph. Look for flattened diaphragms. Treat supportively with oxygen, mist tent, bronchodilators, and IV fluids. Question 51. What old school pediatric infection causes pseudomembranes and myocarditis? What about whooping cough? Diphtheria, which is Corynebacterium diphtheriae, and pertussis, which is Bordetella pertussis, respectively. Diphtheria is quite uncommon in the United States because of mandatory vaccination. Pertussis was uncommon, but the incidence has been increasing significantly over the past 20 years. If a child is unimmunized, don't forget these two entities. Diphtheria causes grayish pseudomembranes, which is necrotic epithelium and inflammatory exudate on the pharynx, tonsils, and uvula, as well as myocarditis. Pertussis is associated with severe paroxysmal coughing and a high-pitched whooping inspiratory noise, traditionally called whooping cough, particularly in children and especially those under 1 year of age. Treat diphtheria with antitoxin and either penicillin or erythromycin. Treat pertussis with azithromycin or erythromycin. Question 52. In what clinical scenario does rabies occur in the United States? Describe the classic physical findings. Rabies in the United States is due to bites from bats, skunks, raccoons, or foxes. Rabies due to bites from dogs is rare due to vaccination. The incubation period is usually around 1 to 2 months. The classic findings are hydrophobia, fear of water due to painful swallowing, and CNS signs such as paralysis. Question 53. What should you do after a patient is bitten by an animal? 1. Treat the local wound. Cleanse thoroughly with soap. Do not cauterize or suture the wound. Amoxicillin clavulanate is often given for cellulitis prophylaxis. 2. Observe the animal, if possible, capture and observe the dog or cat to see if it develops rabies. If a wild animal is caught, it should be killed and the brain tissue examined for rabies. 3. If the wild animal escapes or has rabies, give rabies immunoglobulin and vaccinate the patient. In cases of a dog or cat bite, do not give prophylaxis or vaccine unless the animal acted strangely or bit the patient without provocation and rabies is prevalent in the area, which is rare. Do not give prophylaxis or vaccine for rabbit or small rodent bites, such as rats, mice, squirrels, or chipmunks. Question 54. What are the main two infections caused by S. pyogenes, group A streptococci? What are the common sequelae? Strep pyogenes causes pharyngitis and skin infections. Sequelae include rheumatic fever, scarlet fever, and post-streptococcal glomerulonephritis. Question 55. How does streptococcal pharyngitis present? How do you diagnose and treat it? Look for sore throat with fever, tonsillar exudate, enlarged tender cervical nodes, and leukocytosis. A positive streptococcal throat culture confirms the diagnosis. Elevated titers of anti-streptolysin O and anti-DNase antibody can be used for a retrospective diagnosis in patients with rheumatic fever or post-streptococcal glomerulonephritis. Treat streptococcal pharyngitis with penicillin, amoxicillin, cephalosporin, macrolide, or clindamycin to avoid rheumatic fever and scarlet fever. Question 56. What are the major and minor Jones criteria for rheumatic fever? Why is rheumatic fever less common today? The five major Jones criteria include migratory polyarthritis, carditis, central nervous system involvement, or chorea, erythema marginatum, and subcutaneous nodules. The minor Jones criteria include fever, arthralgia, elevated ESR or CRP, and prolonged PR interval on electrocardiogram. The diagnosis of rheumatic fever requires a history of streptococcal infection and the presence of two of the major criteria or one major criterion plus two minor criteria. Treatment of streptococcal pharyngitis with antibiotics markedly reduces the incidence of rheumatic fever. Thus, it is less common today. Give all patients affected by rheumatic fever endocarditis prophylaxis before surgical procedures. Question 57. How do you recognize post-streptococcal glomerulonephritis? How is it treated? Post-streptococcal glomerulonephritis occurs most commonly after a streptococcal skin infection, but it may also occur after pharyngitis. Patients are usually children and generally present with a history of infection with a nephritogenic strain of Streptococcus species 1 to 3 weeks earlier, an abrupt onset of hematuria, proteinuria, which is mild and not in the nephrotic range, red blood cell casts, hypertension, edema, especially periorbital, and elevated BUN and creatinine. Treat supportively, control blood pressure, and use diuretics for severe edema. Treatment of streptococcal infections does not reduce the incidence of post-streptococcal glomerulonephritis. Question 58. Distinguish between impetigo and erysipelas. Both are superficial skin infections due to streptococci or Staph aureus and often occur after a break in the skin, such as trauma, scabies, or insect bite. Impetigo classically changes first from maculopapules to vesiculopustules and bullae, and then to honey-colored crusted lesions. Staphylococci are a more frequent cause than streptococci. Definitely think of staphylococci if a furuncle or carbuncle is present. Think of streptococci if glomerulonephritis develops. Impetigo is contagious, so watch for sick contacts. If there are a limited number of lesions without bullae, topical mupirocin may be used. If there are bullous or many lesions, treat with dicloxacillin, cephalexin, or clindamycin. Erysipelas is a superficial cellulitis. It involves the upper dermis and superficial lymphatics that appears red, shiny, and swollen. It is tender and may be associated with vesicles or bullae, fever, and lymphadenopathy. Erysipelas typically has well-demarcated and raised borders. Treat with penicillin or amoxicillin, though erysipelas may require parenteral therapy with cephalosporin, such as ceftriaxone or cefazolin, if systemic symptoms such as fever and chills are present. Question 59. What organisms typically cause cellulitis? What special circumstances should make you think of atypical causes? Streptococci and staphylococci cause most cases. Think of Pseudomonas species with burns or severe trauma, of Pasteurella multicida after dog or cat bites, and treat with ampicillin. Think of Vibrio vulnificans in fishermen or other patients exposed to salt water, and treat with tetracycline. Diabetic patients with foot ulcers tend to have polymicrobial infections and need powerful broad-spectrum antibiotic coverage. Question 60. Describe the physical findings of cellulitis. In patients with cellulitis, the involved overlying skin is red, hot, and frequently tender. It looks like erysipelas, but involves deeper dermis and subcutaneous fat. Antibiotic selection depends on whether the cellulitis is purulent or non-purulent. These are newer terms and are designations within the 2011 Infectious Disease Society of America Clinical Practice Guidelines for MRSA. The idea is that a purulent infection may be caused by Staph aureus. Oral treatment options for purulent cellulitis are trimethoprim sulfamethoxazole, doxycycline, clindamycin, and linezolid. Oral treatment options for non-purulent cellulitis are dicloxacillin, cefalexin, and clindamycin. Question 61. Define necrotizing fasciitis. How is it treated? Necrotizing fasciitis is defined as a progression of cellulitis to necrosis and gangrene, which can quickly become limb and life-threatening. Watch for crepitus and signs of systemic toxicity, such as tachycardia, fever, and hypotension. Often, multiple organisms are involved, aerobes and anaerobes. Treat with IV fluids, aggressive surgical debridement, and broad-spectrum antibiotics. This includes a carbapenem, such as imipenem or meropenem, plus clindamycin, plus vancomycin. Question 62. What is the most common cause of endometritis? How do you recognize and treat it? Consider endometritis an infection of the endometrial lining in any postpartum woman with a fever. The hallmark is uterine tenderness, and the most common cause is Streptococcus species, though it is often polymicrobial. Treat with clindamycin plus gentamicin after getting local cultures. Question 63. What infection in neonates is caused by Streptococcus agalactiae, or group B streptococci? Streptococcus agalactiae is the most common cause of neonatal meningitis or sepsis. The organism is often part of normal vaginal flora and may be acquired from the birth canal. Group B streptococci are penicillin sensitive. Expectant mothers are cultured for group B strep, and if it is present around the time of delivery, then prophylactic IV penicillin is preferred, or IV ampicillin is given to the mother to prevent meningitis in the newborn. Question 64. Other than pneumonia, what infections does strep pneumoniae commonly cause? Otitis media, meningitis, sinusitis, and spontaneous bacterial peritonitis. Question 65. What are the main infections caused by Staph aureus? The list is long. Staph aureus is a common cause of the following infections: skin and soft tissue abscesses, especially in the breast after breastfeeding or in the skin after a furuncle; endocarditis, especially in drug users; osteomyelitis, the most common cause unless sickle cell disease is present; septic arthritis; infection of prosthetic material, such as grafts, shunts, and orthopedic devices; food poisoning via a preformed toxin; toxic shock syndrome via a preformed toxin; scalded skin syndromes via a preformed toxin; It affects younger children who often present with impetigo, then desquamate. Impetigo, cellulitis, wound infections, pneumonia, where it often forms lung abscesses or empyema, and furuncles and carbuncles. Question 66. What is the treatment of choice for staphylococcal infections on the USMLE? An anti-staphylococcal penicillin, such as methicillin or dicloxacillin. Use vancomycin, clindamycin, doxycycline, trimethoprim sulfamethoxazole, or linezolid if the staphylococcal species is known to be methicillin resistant or if MRSA is suspected. MRSA is a rapidly growing problem. Most abscesses, regardless of the causative organism, must be treated first with surgical incision and drainage because antibiotics cannot penetrate through the walls of an abscess cavity. Question 67. Cover up the right-hand column in the table below and describe the preferred treatment for tuberculosis based on the clinical scenario. For an exposed adult with a negative PPD test, no treatment is needed. For an exposed child younger than 5 years old with a negative PPD, treat with INH, isoniazid, for 3 months, then repeat the PPD. Treatment for PPD conversion from negative to positive and no active disease. That's treated with INH for 9 months. Active pulmonary disease or positive culture is treated with INH, rifampin, pyrazinamide, and ethambutol for 2 months, then INH with rifampin for 4 months in most patients. Question 68. Name some other important tuberculosis treatment issues. Multi-drug resistant strains are an increasing problem and require four-drug therapy with pyrazinamide, isoniazid, ethambutol, and rifampin in most circumstances. If the patient is non-compliant, directly observed therapy is recommended. Consider supplementation with vitamin B6, pyridoxine, for patients on INH, or watch for signs of deficiency, such as neuropathy, confusion, angular cheilitis, or a seborrheic dermatitis-like rash. Watch for liver dysfunction in patients on therapy. Patients should be advised to abstain from alcohol while on treatment and should have their transaminase levels monitored. That's the end of this chapter.